Will you please turn to 2 Corinthians? Second Corinthians chapter 12. Just one verse. Verse 1. Well, it is not a profit to me to boast, for I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee for gathering us together before Thee, Lord. What hast Thou want to say to us? We are all here, Lord. Open our understanding that when Thy word is given, it may come right into the depths of our heart, that we may see Thee through Thy word and be transformed and conform to Thy image. We trust Thy Holy Spirit to do this work, and it's all for Thy glory. In Thy precious name we pray. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we fellowship on this matter of vision. As we find in the book of Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people disintegrate. In other words, we find there is such a thing called the heavenly vision. And it is that vision which our God wants every one of us to know. Not only to know, but to experience. Why is it so? Because this heavenly vision is related to God's eternal purpose. Even before the foundation of the world, even before God began to do anything, He has conceived a will. It is according to His good pleasure, and His will is concerned with His beloved Son. So He put this will into a vision to reveal to us, His people, that His purpose concerning His Son might be fulfilled. So, brothers and sisters, there is such a thing called the heavenly vision. And it is something that is a must to every believer. We find that this is the vision that He gave to Peter. This is also the vision that He gave to Paul. Even though the occasions are different, the details are different, and yet you find the principles, the outline, the contents, the reality of the vision is the same. So, dear brothers and sisters, we feel it is of tremendous importance that God's people should see that vision. It is the vision concerning our Lord Jesus, who He is, what He is to us. And it is also concerning the church that He is building. What is the church? And in what relationship are we all concerning that church? We will not go back to what we have already mentioned last Lord's Day. But at the very outset, we would like to ask a question. And the question is, why is it that God's people today do not seem to have caught that vision or being caught by that vision? Now we know, brothers and sisters, when we come to spiritual things, I think there is something we all need to know. When we come to spiritual things, we, the natural man, can do nothing. Now, of course, God is spiritual. So anything that concerns God, it's something, naturally speaking, beyond us. The Bible says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are folly to him, to them, and they cannot know it because it is spiritually discerned. So first of all, we would like to make it very clear that when we come to spiritual things, we are, humanly speaking, helpless. There is nothing that we can do. Everything has to come from God. But thank God, because our God is the God who reveals himself. I think you remember in Genesis chapter 16 how Hagar saw God. God revealed to her. And he said, he is the God who reveals himself. So thank God that our God is not one who hides himself. Now, if God should hide himself, nobody will ever know him because he is beyond us. But thank God he condescends himself and he wants us to know him. He is the God who reveals himself. Now, why is it that if God is the God who reveals himself and we do not receive that revelation, we do not see that vision. Now, why is it so? It is because, as our brother has already mentioned, during the breaking of bread, that it pleases God to hide his will from those who consider themselves as wise and prudent, but to reveal it to the babes. In other words, if we consider ourselves as wise and prudent, then we will find spiritual things are hidden from us. But if we really have a heart like a babe, humble, innocent, consider ourselves as nothing, then God will reveal his mind to us. So when you read the Sermon on the Mount, you find our Lord Jesus begins with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of the heavens is there. He who is hungry and thirsty after righteousness, they shall receive it. that is pure in heart shall see God. And our Lord Jesus said, Father, I thank you because you hide these things from those who consider themselves as wise and prudent, but reveal them to those as babes. So, dear brothers and sisters, if we really want to receive that heavenly vision, we need to have an attitude of a babe. If we consider ourselves as knowing, as knowledgeable, then we find we are kept away from that vision. So, dear brothers and sisters, our prayer is that God will always keep us in a spirit of humility, as if we are babes, knowing nothing, and really put our trust in Him. And as we really have a seeking heart for Him, He will reveal Himself to us and enable us to not only see the vision, but also to be a part of that vision. Now this morning we would like to consider together on the matter of vision and visions. First of all, the vision is singular. In other words, that vision, that heavenly vision is only one. But when that vision is given, it is only given to us in a broad outline. Just like when Peter at the border of Caesarea Philippi, when the Heavenly Father revealed to him the Son, and then the Son continued to reveal him to him, the church. Just like Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus, our Lord Jesus revealed to him, and also show him how he and the church are one. Whoever touches him, the head touches the body. So, dear brothers and sisters, we need, first of all, an outline of the heavenly vision. And that vision is composed of two parts. First of all, it is all concerned our Lord Jesus. And the second part is related to the church. If we only see a part of it, then we are missing the whole purpose of God. But when that heavenly vision is revealed, it doesn't mean that because you have the vision, therefore you have the reality. Put it another way. Vision only gives us an outline. And then you find the Lord will give us visions, many visions, in order to fill the content. If we only have vision and do not have the reality, we become visionary. There is nothing really, but everything is just idea and ideal. But with visions continuing in our life, then we will find all the details will be filled in until we arrive at the fullness of Christ and the fullness of the church. So that's the reason why visions are very important. Do not say because 10 years ago, God has given me the the vision. But the problem is, what about today? Are we still receiving visions? Is God still revealing Himself to us? And is He turning vision into vocation? So that is our problem. Now we do not want to approach this from the theological standpoint. We would like to approach it from the practical standpoint. So in other words, we would like to choose from the Word of God some examples, practical examples, to show us how, after one has received the heavenly vision, the Lord began to reveal to them more and more. And in the following visions, you find the details will be fully filled in. And you will find people get into the reality, the practical side of the vision, until the vision becomes a vocation. Now, not until a vision becomes vocation is that vision living and real. But we would like to use two examples from the Bible. One is, of course, the Apostle Paul. And we all know that on the road to Damascus, this true Pharisee was converted into a real believer. There you find his whole life was changed. Instead of persecuting Christians, he became the persecuted. But as you read his writings, you will discover that he does not tell us that because on the road to Damascus he has received that heavenly vision, therefore, he is perfect now. On the contrary, you find that in his writing, he is telling us how the Lord continued to make that vision real into his life. And I would like to use two illustrations from his life. One is, we find that in Romans, from chapter 6 to chapter 8. Now, some people say Romans chapter 7, that experience of Paul, was his experience before he was saved. But I think we know better that it actually tells us, after he was saved, what happened to his Christian life. Because before a person is saved, his mind is not renewed. But here you find a person who knows the will of God. He says, I know the mind of God. I know what God's mind is. And not only that, he has the desire to do the will of God. But he discovers a difficulty. And the difficulty is he cannot do it. It is not because he does not know it, but it is because he cannot do it. Why? Because he discovered that even after he has been saved, and he has received a new life, the life of Christ in him. And this new life will give him a new mind, wanted to do the will of God, wanted to please God in everything. But he discovered when he wants to really do the will of God, he's not able to do it. Why? because he found out that in his life there are two different lives within him. In his spirit, in his new spirit, Christ is his life. But in his soul, he discovered that the life there is still that old Adamic life. So he says, so far as the inner life is concerned, he wants to do the will of God. But when he's trying to do the will of God, the other life, the natural life in his soul, rejected it. Not only rejected, but overcome it, because that old life is strong. It has been there for years. It has been working for years. And he finds the new life of Christ in him is weak, and the old life of Adam in him is very strong. He cannot overcome that Adamic life. And there is that struggle in his life. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we who have believed in the Lord Jesus, sooner or later, we all experience such things. Maybe in the beginning, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we are as if taken to the cloud. Everything seems to be rosy. And at that time, during our first love, if the Lord has any requirement, wanted us to give us anything, something, it's easy. But gradually you find we are dropping down to earth. And we do find that in our spiritual life, there is a civil war within us. And if we really want the Lord, then we will be really disturbed by it, because we find that we have defeats more than victories. So you find this man in chapter 7. He wants the will of God. But when he's trying to do the will of God, he finds there is another life, another power, the power of sin within him that drags him down. So he fights against it, and he discovers to will is in him, but to do is not in him. So he finally say, well, it is not I who do it. It is a sin within me who is doing it, and I am helpless and hopeless. So after he has struggled for some time, we do not know how long, then he cried out, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? Now, brothers and sisters, have you come to that point yet? I think as we look back to our experience, after many defeats, if we really have a heart for God, we will not accept these defeats as final. We will still be striving and struggling until finally we discover that we are no match to the old Adam. And when we discover it, and acknowledge the fact, then we will cry out, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? Thank God, when we are desperate and really discover that in ourselves we are helpless, then the help is there. So you find in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, he cried out, O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? And then the following verse, verse 25, thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In other words, you begin to discover that it is not you who overcome. It is Christ in you who is always victorious. And you give up yourself and give to the Lord and allow the Lord to do it for you. So when you really turn to the Lord and trust in His life for your living, instead of your old life to live, the Christian life, then you find there is victory and there is shout of victory. So here you find on the road to Damascus, Paul, Saul, the Son of God. He called him the Lord. But actually, you find in his practical life, he hasn't really made the Lord his Lord. He is still trying to do it for the Lord until he discovers the Lord is really Lord of his life and allowed him to take over his life instead of struggling. He trusted in the Lord. And then you find the victory is there. So not only in the life of Paul you find that. I believe you have heard of many testimonies about this matter. How the Lord has brought us over from living by our old life, the Christian life, to live the Christian life by the new life of Christ within them. So this is the secret of it. So brothers and sisters, that shows that having that heavenly vision doesn't mean that you have it. It simply means that a new horizon has opened up to you. And there is a way, a direction for you to go. And you discover how our Lord Jesus, His life is your life. So the Apostle Paul can say, for me to live is Christ. Now there is another occasion we would like to mention, and that is when he wrote 2 Corinthians. There in chapter 12, he said, I'm going to write about visions and revelations. And there he mentioned especially one thing. He said 14 years ago, he said, I know a man in Christ. I do not know whether in the body or outside of the body. But this man in Christ was raptured up to the third heaven. And then he said, I know this man. In the body or outside the body, I do not know. But he is raptured away to paradise. You know, he is mentioning two things. Raptured up to the third heaven. And that is where God dwells. And then he was raptured again to paradise. And we know paradise is where the blessed dead rested. Those who are the Lord, after they died, they will go to paradise and rest there until the time of resurrection. So he was actually raptured away to paradise. The reason is some people think when our Lord Jesus rose to heaven, he took paradise with him to heaven. So therefore, paradise today is in heaven. But this cannot be, because we find during resurrection, the dead will be resurrected and taken up to the air. Now, if he's already in the third heaven, then it should be coming down from the air. So we know even today paradise is still in the earth. But what he had heard in paradise, he was not allowed to share with us. But that didn't mean that he cannot share with us of what he has seen and heard in the third heaven. Now thank God for that. And we believe, as you read the letter to the Ephesians, or the letter to the Colossians, you find he talk about the mystery of God, and also the mystery of Christ. The mystery of God is Christ, and the mystery of Christ is the church. These are the two greatest mysteries in the universe. And we wonder where, how did he learn about such mystery? Is it possible that when he was taken to the third heaven, he had heard things and seen things concerning this mystery? Now, of course, we do not really know when this has happened to him. Now, he talked about 14 years ago. Now, if you read the letter to the Corinthians, second letter, and you try to trace the date, people even today cannot tell us exactly when was the time he was taken to the third heaven or taken to paradise. The only thing we know that if you are taken to the paradise, when will that happen? When you die. Then you will be taken to the paradise. So you remember when Paul, when he first preached the gospel in Asia Minor, how in Lystra he was stoned to death. And they dragged him out, thinking that he was dead. But when the disciples surrounded him, he got up and walked into the city. So I wonder if it happened at that time. But time-wise, it seems it's not yet 14 years. It's not 14 years. So we really do not know exactly when this happened. The only thing we know that it did happen. And there he was able to really know the mystery of God in such a way, and the mystery of Christ in such a way that is always, is almost beyond human understanding. Now thank God for that. And of course, because of that, the Lord allows Satan to put a stick in his life. It is not a little thorn. In the original, it's a stick. The Lord allowed a stick to come into his life. Why? That he may not be proud of himself. Having received such revelation, such vision, humanly speaking, you will be proud of it. And so here you find God humble him, allowing Satan to put a stake in his life. And for that reason, he prayed three times before the Lord to take that stake away. And we know that when Paul prayed, it is not for selfish reasons. It is for the glory of God. Because he was preaching the gospel at that time. And if he preached a mighty God and he is in such weakness, it seems to be a contradiction. And it will really have, will not be effective in his work. So it is for the glory of God he asked the Lord three times to remove it. But the Lord had a better idea. The Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is perfected in your weakness. And Paul, having saw that, seen that, he boasts in his weakness. Brothers and sisters, we usually boast of our strength. We try to hide our weakness, moan for our weakness. But here is a man who knew God so well that he can boast of his weakness, that the power of God may be manifested. So you find that even in the life of Paul, that heavenly vision is gradually fulfilled in his life. He is brought into the vision, as well as the vision was brought into him. And that is the purpose of God. So, brothers and sisters, just having the vision is a beginning. It is not the end. Do not be so satisfied thinking that you have received that vision, that you have all. Not at all. Unless God continually gives you visions, allow you to know more and more, and the vision will become your vocation, and you will be absorbed, as it were, into that vision. Now that's Paul. Now we would like to use another example. Peter. Now, Peter is the same way. You find in Matthew chapter 16, when Peter acknowledged our Lord Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, it was a great revelation. Because our Lord Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonah, this is not something told you by the flesh. This is something revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven. So in other words, it is a revelation. It is a vision to him to see and to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And on the basis of that confession, our Lord Jesus was able to reveal something more to him. He said, you are Peter. Now you are a little stone. You have my life in you. Now I'm going to do something. I will build my church upon this rock, this foundation, which is our Lord himself. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against. What a revelation, what a vision that Peter received at that time. But brothers and sisters, that's the reason why you find the Roman church consider Peter as the foundation of the church. But it's a mistake. Why? Because immediately afterwards, in Matthew chapter 16, our Lord Jesus began to tell his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem, and there how he will be beaten and he will be crucified. But on the third day, he will rise from the dead. The Lord was revealing to him how could he, our Lord, become the Christ, He had to give up himself to fulfill the Father's mission. It was a tremendous revelation. But you know what Peter did. He took hold of the Lord, shook him up, and said, "Lord, it never happened to you. Be mindful of yourself. Don't go to the cross. You don't need it." And our Lord Jesus turned around, facing him, and said, "Satan, get you behind me. Because you are not mindful of the things of God, but you are mindful of the things of man." In other words, here you find Satan is using Peter. Try to dissuade our Lord Jesus from going to the cross. Now, if this should happen, then there is no salvation. But our Lord Jesus knew the wiles of the enemy and how our Lord Jesus overcame it. So, brothers and sisters, you find, even after Peter had received such vision, such revelation, he was not there yet. He was still thinking of himself. He was still thinking of the flesh, not the mind of God, but the mind of man, and how he needed to be delivered until he will see the mind of Christ and live by it. Now that's one occasion. And the other occasion is, you find in chapter 17. Our Lord Jesus said, before they die, some of them will see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom. And then in chapter 17, our Lord Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, the three closest to him, and took them to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there our Lord Jesus was transfigured. Glory coming out of him. We know this is not the glory of God. This is the glory of the Son of Man. Because he lived such a life pleasing the Father, that there is glory coming out of him. And then you find Moses and Elijah came and talked with him about his exit. In other words, they are talking about he had come to the world. The world became flesh and tabernacle among men, full of grace and truth. And now he was going to leave the world. How was he to exit from this world? And while they were talking about it, Peter woke up and he made a suggestion. You know, Peter was so talkative. He always had great ideas. So he made a suggestion. He said, "Lord, it is good to be here. We have you, we have Moses, we have Elijah. What else do we want? Let's live here forever. We will make three tabernacles for you to rest." He thought he made a good suggestion. But the Heavenly Father interrupted him. And a cloud of glory, a Shekinah glory, covered them. And they heard a voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Don't talk, hear. Your place is to hear. Your place is not to suggest. Brothers and sisters, Here you find Peter learned another lesson. And such lesson is all related to that heavenly vision. In other words, every lesson that God will enable us to learn is to fulfill that heavenly vision, is to put that heavenly vision into your life and to put you into that heavenly vision. In other words, you consider Jesus as Lord, but you are trying to be his Lord, telling him what to do instead of listening to what he wants to do. So there is another lesson here. Every lesson that we learn after we have believed in the Lord Jesus is related to that heavenly vision, is to bring us into that heavenly vision and bring that heavenly vision into us. Then you find there is another occasion. You find in Acts chapter 10, there you find Peter. He went to the housetop and he was praying. As he was praying, he was in ecstasy. And he saw a vision. He saw a great sheet coming down from heaven. And within that great sheet, all kinds of quadrupeds, fowl of the air, unclean, creeping things. Then he heard a voice, "Peter, rise and eat." Now Peter, being a kosher Jew, he never had eaten anything unclean. He kept the Levitical rule. So he said, "Lord, in my life I have never eaten anything unclean." Then the voice said, "Do not make what God has cleansed to be unclean." And it happened three times. Brothers and sisters, how strong was our opinion? Even with the voice in heaven explaining to him, still Peter resisted and wouldn't take anything unclean. But after that vision was gone, Peter was thinking about it. And you remember how the emissary from Cornelius was knocking at the door. And God said, "Go with them." So finally, Peter, when he arrived there and saw the scene, what did he say? He said, "I see that wherever people who fear God, they are acceptable to God. And that's the reason I'm here." This is the beginning of the gospel open to the Gentiles. So, dear brothers and sisters, even though in Matthew chapter 16, Peter has already received the revelation of the church, our Lord Jesus himself told him, "I will build my church." But you find he didn't know what the church really was. He thought that the grace of God was only for the Jews and not for the Gentiles. He did not see the universality of the church. That in the church, there is no distinction of nationality. In the church, there is no distinction of social standing. There is no distinction of cultural background, no distinction of religious background. In Christ, He is all and in all. So, brothers and sisters, here again, you find a great revelation. And that revelation adds in to the heavenly vision that Peter saw at the very beginning. So, dear brothers and sisters, do not be contented just with the thought that some years ago, by the grace of God, He has opened your eyes and see the heavenly vision. This is just the beginning. We need to continue on that. If we do not continue, then you find sooner or later we will become visionary. Nothing is real. Nothing is true. Nothing is practical. But thank God, after He has revealed to us that initial, beginning, heavenly vision, it is His thought that this must be continual. So that's where visions in the plural number come into our life. So the parable is, brothers and sisters, are we people who are continually receiving visions and revelations? If in our life, vision and revelation stop, it means your spiritual life is stagnant. If we are living before the Lord, then we will find continually we will be given more light, more vision, more revelation. And by all these, they are filling in the details. They are putting us into the vision that God has shown us. Make it a reality to us. And also putting that vision into our life. So, brothers and sisters, this is our prayer. Do not be content with what you have already received. Because if we do, our spiritual life will stop there. But our spiritual life is living. It is always going on. Going on. Thank God. Our God is infinite. Therefore, the thrill of us, of a Christian life is, there is never an ending. Today, we are pressing on. Even in the age to come, we are still learning, and there is no end to it. So, brothers and sisters, let us not sit back and be satisfied. But may the Lord create within us such a longing, desire, striving within us. As the Apostle Paul said, I do not say that I have apprehended. I forget what is behind and pressing on towards the goal for the high calling, prize of calling on high. Brothers and sisters, that should be our attitude. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we do praise and thank Thee that Thou art the infinite God. Thou are always beckoning up us to follow Thee. Oh, dear Lord, how wonderful it is that there is no ending of knowing Thee, no ending to your visions and revelations. Dear Lord, do not allow us to be stagnant, to be stay put. But Lord, continue to draw us, beckon us, calling us, that we may forget what is behind and press on towards the goal, towards yourself. Oh, dear Lord, lead us on, we pray in thy precious name.